Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude. Another preseason game comes, another preseason game goes, and what a waste of money.
Yeah. That's good. It's a good racket they have. And making sure you buy the preseason when you have the season tickets. They do it in all the sports.
I don't mind, you know, kind of throwing the money around because I did make some money in Vegas.
You do like weekend. To make it rain.
I did. I made it rain in Vegas. I did. I thank you, Indianapolis Colts. Thank you, Philadelphia Eagles. No thank you, New York Giants. You ruined a little 14 parlay for me. So to you, New York Giants, I say, shame on you.
Shame on you. How dare you, sir?
You are the Nick Vallien of betting of the moment.
Nick Vallien of football.
For shame. For Nick Vallien of football.
Did you make any futures bets, dude, on
hockey? Dude, I didn't, you know. The odds were vastly different than what we discussed. Everything was significantly lower.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you a little reach out and contacted you from Vegas. And I think the dudes, the powers that be, decided that we'd rather spend that $20 on some delicious beers.
I think that's the case.
Which is a sure thing.
Yes.
Instead of reaching for some poor odds on... The Lightning was 25-1 instead of the 35-1, you know, and that's, you know, that's $100 or $150 difference. Flyers were 14-1. That probably was my favorite.
Because the Sharks weren't.
Sharks were 8-1.
Yeah, Sharks were 8-1. So 14-1 is not a bad bet, but still, you got to say the Penguins and the Capitals are far bigger favorites in the East.
Right.
And do you really want to get just okay odds on the Flyers when you have clear favorites? That's why you would want to go with 35-1 on Tampa Bay and see if you can get a, you know, get a nice long shot to pay off. But I guess in the West is hard to bet on because, you know, then you're betting against the Sharks. And
I can't do that.
And as a wise man once told me, you don't mix money and emotion, so you don't want to bet on the Sharks either.
You don't do that, dude.
Right.
So, the preseason is now officially over, right?
Right. All we have left is an exhibition against a German elite league team.
Fantastic.
Mannheim.
Oh, I thought they were called the Gotchas.
could be.
Mannheim?
Yes.
Are they the Mannheim Steamrollers?
It could be. That would be cool.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. That'd be cool, though.
Wow. So, the Sharks are going to Germany. They're going to play this German elite team on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then they open the season on Friday, a week from Friday, mm-hmm. against the Columbus Blue Jackets in Sweden. So, dude, this is sort of our next to last stab. We won't do a full season preview, and we won't do a full Western Conference, Eastern Conference preview tonight.
Right.
We'll save that for next week. But let's take a moment to talk about the two games back-to-back against Vancouver. And the other two exhibition games that happened over the weekend that I know that you saw. And let's talk about the opening night roster. Let's try and predict who you think is going to be on this team and who might be the odd man out at this time, dude.
Well, in my mind, there's no question that they're going to sign Andreas Lilja. He had a goal tonight. It's not particularly significant in terms of his job description. But he just looks much steadier than all the other guys that have been in camp. Certainly looks steadier than Petrecki, a lot steadier than Braun. Sean Sullivan had a nice goal, but you know, he didn't look nearly as confident and as just, you know, well skilled in that position as Andreas Lilja does. So to me, especially since they sent Jay Leach down, I think it's pretty much a slam dunk. Mike Moore, I thought, had an okay game tonight. Still not nearly as good as Lilja did. So, you know, I certainly think that he's my big favorite to round out the sixth or seventh defenseman, depending on the health of the aforementioned Nick Vallien.
It seems like it's coming down between Moore and Lilja.
Hamburgers.
And Vallien, he played last night in Vancouver, didn't play particularly well.
Oh, okay.
From what I saw, He still just looks... he took a really nasty tumble, actually. During the game, he got spilled. I can't remember who upended him. Now I do remember. It was Keith Ballard, who hip-checked him. And Keith Ballard's probably about 4 inches and, you know, 40 pounds lighter than Vallin and totally spilled him. Vallin laid there for a little while, and then he got up, and he did keep playing. Jamal Mayer is also injured last night.
Right.
In that game, he did not play tonight. Reports are that he will be back. He's going to make the trip to Europe. Jason Demers has also been out for the last two games with an undisclosed injury.
I don't think he played over the weekend.
So then he's been out for a while.
Yeah.
But they also seem confident that he's going to be able to play. So my question for you, dude, is so Lilja plays. Okay, Lilja gets signed. So we know Doug Wilson's tendencies here. If you look at Lilja as a third pairing defenseman, he has signed a few other third pairing defensemen for a rather extravagant amount of cash.
That's true.
What's the going rate for Andres Lilja?
Well, the fact that he's a tryout means he better be making $750,000 or less, in my opinion. Because if he's really that valuable, then why didn't he get a contract from somebody sight unseen? It's not like Andres Lilja is a wild card. He's been in the league a while. You know, people know they can do their own physical. They can find out if he's healthy or not. They can see him skate a couple times. They know what they're gonna get. So you pull him into a tryout, you know, basically hoping that you're gonna get a bargain. So they better get a bargain. Let's put it that way,
dude. If you look at Jamal Mayers, who signed a month or two ago for $600,000.
Not a month or two, a week or two.
Jamal Mayers?
Did he sign? How long?
It's been a month, I think, for Mayers. All right. So Mayers signs for $600,000. Scott Nichols signs for $760,000 a long time ago.
Yeah.
Is it possible Lilja's going to get more than both those guys?
I kind of hope not.
God, I hope not too, but... If we're looking at the evidence, it's possible that Doug Wilson might overpay here. I'm going to stick with your, you said $750,000. God, I as a GM hopeful and other teams, if you're listening, I am available.
He is available.
You should see my fantasy football team. It is sterling and beautiful. I'm going to give him $600,000.
Okay.
All right, $600,000 for Andres Lilja. So that has our D at Boyle, Murray, Vlasic, Vallin, Huskins, Demers, and Lilja. We're carrying 7D. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right?
Assuming Vallin's on the roster and playing. Right.
That I think we have to assume that that's going to be the case because he has been playing.
And if that's going to be the lineup, unless Andres Lilja is slated to really be playing every night, he better not make much more than $600,000 or $700,000 because he's going to be sitting.
Right.
He's going to be sitting. And he probably won't get a two-way. He'll probably get a one-way.
Right. I would imagine that, you know, I don't think it's a given that he's not going to play.
Based on his
performance, like seeing Huskins and Lilja tonight, I think I know who the better player is. It's neither of them. No, it's Andres Lilja. He just seems to have more of a presence out there than Ken Huskins, who just really makes me nervous most of the time.
Right.
Because I feel like he doesn't really do anything exceptionally well. They gave him some power play time tonight. He didn't look that great, although he did get that shot on net that McGinn deflected. For the goal. For people who didn't watch tonight, I mean, the Sharks did win 6-2 at home against the Vancouver Canucks, but then the Canucks were fielding mostly their Manitoba Moose squad.
In terms of the forward lines, yeah, they had a lot of their D out, but they didn't have, the Sedins weren't playing, no Burrows, no Kessler,
Malhotra?
No Malhotra.
Who's expecting his second child, I believe, that's why he wasn't on the trip.
No kidding.
So, belated or premature congratulations to Manny Malhotra, of course, because we know he listens. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't listen?
All right. So we've got our D set up here, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to save the tough one for the end. All right. Because I don't want to talk about the goalies yet because I think this is going to be a longer conversation.
Okay. So Why don't we take Tom's email now? Because okay. He's asking about the third line.
And sounds
he says,
good.
What do you guys think about running three scoring lines with the third line of Mitchell, Couture, and McGinn? Before Couture was injured, I thought they were the best line in camp. Mitchell seems to have that jump that has been missing since his injury 2 years ago. And McGinn and Couture obviously have good history and chemistry together from Worcester's thoughts.
We've been talking about Couture and McGinn together for a long time.
I'm fully on board the Logan Couture Express. He looked great again tonight, assisting a goal, scoring a goal. Good things happen when Couture's been on the ice. Admittedly, you know, he's not up against the Sedins, but he was up against Keith Ballard and Kevin Bieksa and Dan Hamhuis and Christian Ehrhoff. I mean, all the D were there, and they were still finding seams on the power play. So, you know, I'm definitely, if anybody's going to, at this point, I might say you might see Devin Setoguchi down on the third line and Couture up playing with one of the big boys.
Yeah, Couture showed a lot of skill tonight.
Yeah.
And he looked really good playing with Danny Heatley.
Mm-hmm.
And even better, Danny Heatley looked really good playing with Logan Couture.
That's right.
And it even kind of brought out a side in Heatley tonight that I don't really remember seeing that much before. Because when you're playing with Joe, you don't really have to do this. Is, you know, Couture was taking some punishment tonight,
mm-hmm.
and Heatley was mixing it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would get in the corners. He was retaliating. He took a couple penalties tonight. Played a lot more physical than I think we've seen before. I mean, I was down in the penalty box tonight before the game, and I forget how big Danny Heatley
he's
is.
He's big.
I mean, he's really big.
6'4", 220, 6'4", 225.
He doesn't really play like that.
Not usually.
So you kind of forget how big he is, but I felt like tonight he played large. He looked good. Couture had a great assist on the first goal,
mm-hmm.
and also nailed one himself.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's got a lot of skill, dude.
And he nearly had a goal on the power play, too.
So I don't think it's going to happen off the bat. Mm-hmm. I think they are going to run Seto out there with the top six, and they're going to stick with this Couture-Mitchell-McGinn experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mitchell's had a pretty good preseason.
And McGinn's look good too. I am fully on board with your idea, Tom, or shall I say, you're on board with our idea, whichever it is. But yeah, that's the way to play it. And, you know, Nickel and McLaren and Mayers, that's the fourth line, I think. So now that we're still extrapolating the opening day roster, I think that's it, barring injury. I think Fraser McLaren is on the team.
Yeah, that's we've been asking for that for a while. You know, Fraser McLaren plays a lot better than an average enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a bit of a calmness to his game, actually. He's not overly aggressive, but he's a hockey player who also can drop the gloves legitimately as a heavyweight. And with Nickel and Mares probably running around and doing most of the agitating, he can just sort of step in when it gets too messy. He'll be a good player to have on the roster. Certainly the most skilled enforcer that we've had on the team, probably. Right. I mean, who's been a more skilled enforcer? Would you say
Jeff Odgers?
Yeah, I was going to say Jeff Odgers. Or even Scott Thornton to an extent, although he's not really an enforcer. He's
more of a
Mares type player. So this leaves us with another question here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of set who we think our top 12 forwards are.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got John McCarthy and Tommy Wingles, who both played tonight. They both also played last night.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's a chance, because the team is going to Europe, that both of these guys are going to be on the San Jose Sharks to start the season?
I think it's possible, but and then as soon as they come back, one of them will get sent down. I think that would be a pretty safe play. It would sort of help in case somebody gets a little banged up and they don't want to play them. But I guess, you know, that is skirting the harder question, which is once things get rolling and the Sharks will more likely have 13 offensemen on the roster, you know, with one guy, a healthy scratch per night, who is that guy?
Well, I think it depends on how they play. We've seen the Sharks have a tendency to, you know, maybe it's Fraser McLaren who's going to be the one who's not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Wingles plays a real aggressive brand of hockey that you know, you could certainly see him filling in pretty nicely on a third or fourth line.
Right.
He plays
a college style of hockey. That's right. One way I can describe it is right. That you see some college game, you see these guys just hit the hell out of each other. They all just grit and grind in the corners. They work really hard. It's not always an amazing exhibition of puck handling skill in the college game. You see that a little bit more often in juniors with these really highfalutin prospects, you know, Stamkos and Crosby and Tavares and all these guys. You see them, they're just magicians. You don't see that as often in college. So in college, and you know, was Wingles completely undrafted?
No, he was a draft pick of ours, very late.
Okay.
Yeah, late pick.
But a late draft pick, you know, this guy isn't going to have the puck on the string everywhere. So he gets drafted because he's smart about the game and he doesn't let anything stop him. And that's kind of the way I would describe Tommy Wingles.
Would you say he reminds you of Joe Pavelski a couple years ago?
Yeah, he could be. He could be.
We've been hearing that comparison from a few other people. So I think Wingles is going to stick. I think John McCarthy's going to stick too, dude. I think that's the plan. They're going to take both these guys with them over to Europe and then they'll see what happens. You know, we've seen the Sharks run a really short bench before, and you know, maybe they're just going to scratch one of the defensemen, and in an emergency, if they had to dress all seven of them, Demers would slide up and play
forward.
A forward role. You know, that might be a way of saving this long-term cap space. Wingles is making $875,000, so that's not super cheap, and McCarthy's not making much at all, $550,000. Well, let's jump to the goaltenders, dude.
Okay.
We've got Nidamaki, we've got Niemi, and we've got Thomas Greiss, the Phantom, who didn't even get any action in these last two home-and-home series with Vancouver. What's been your take on the goaltending so far in the preseason?
It's worrisome. I'll be honest. I'll be absolutely honest. The first goal for Vancouver tonight was a terrible goal. Just awful. You know, not a strong angle from Rafi Torres. You know, he's in top of the circle or outside the top of the circle. A wrist shot that certainly wasn't a laser, certainly not an Ovechkin wrist shot that it all of a sudden is in the back of the net. You know, Nidamaki could have, you know, he saw it all the way, no screen at all, and it still goes in. I mean, and Nidamaki looked down. He looked like he was kicking himself after that goal happened. And
that was a bad goal.
And right after that, there was another chance, and Nidamaki kicked the puck out right between the circles. You know, a really fat rebound that luckily was gobbled up by the Sharks. But at that point, he looked shaken. He looked really sort of down on himself there. And I said, uh-oh, you know, now's the time where they could just score two or three really quickly. And Niemi is what we've described over these past few weeks. Great down low, doesn't give anything up low, plays a little bit too deep in the net, and it seems like all the goals go in over the glove. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems to be the situation. So are either of these guys the second coming of Ryan Miller? I don't think so. The question is, are they going to be enough? And I, you know, right now I can't say I know that. I just don't know.
There's no way to know that. But I think what we don't know is Thomas Greiss. Like, this guy has really only had one shot to play this preseason. He played the game in Phoenix when the Sharks did a split squad and sent half their, you know, roster to Phoenix, half their roster stayed here. And he went to Phoenix. He faced 30 shots from the Coyotes. He made 28 saves. They lost that game 2-1. He faced 10 power plays in that game.
Right.
And only gave up one power play goal.
Right.
So out of the statistical numbers, based on these three performances that we've seen, we didn't see Greiss play,
right,
but Greiss's numbers
are better.
Are better. You look at Nidamaki, he played tonight against the Vancouver Canucks forward minor league team and still gave up two goals and one really bad goal. The second one, not really his fault. It went off of somebody.
Yeah, it went off somebody's skate or something.
Niemi faced Vancouver's A team last night in Vancouver, and it was, I mean, I texted you at one point and I said, this is embarrassing. Like, it was embarrassing at one point. The Sharks played well in the third period, but it was pretty much over by then. Too little, too late. Is Thomas Greiss, did he just not get a real fair shot?
Yeah,
here?
That's what it sounded like, isn't it?
So they said at the beginning, well, we've got three great goalies here. It's open competition. If Greiss is
Not really.
Not going to make the team, which it certainly seems like they've got a decision to make. I mean, they could take either McCarthy or Wingles, and they could keep Greiss up and maybe carry three goalies. I mean, you really don't see that often.
No.
It seems like a real waste of a roster space.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen here?
I think they're going to do what we thought all along. Greiss is going to get shipped somewhere. Worcester or ECHL or whatever. I mean, the guy's gotten... Let's be completely honest here. He's gotten the shaft.
Yeah.
He's gotten the shaft here. And the question that I asked everybody and I asked myself all last year was, does Thomas Greiss have the stuff to be a starting NHL goaltender? And we never got that answer, and we still don't have that answer. Is it possible that the Sharks have seen something that we have not seen, and there's something that really gives them pause about Thomas Greiss? Of course, that's totally possible, and we just haven't seen it yet. And it's, I don't know, it's something he does in practice, or it's something he does in the game that we just can't see, and it's subtle. But it's not obvious what he's done wrong.
There's definitely an issue.
It's not obvious.
If there wasn't an issue, they wouldn't have spent $4 million on two new goalies. I mean, if they believed that Thomas Greiss could be the number one guy here this year, they never would have made the move for both of these players.
Well, I mean, I think maybe what they said is, okay, well, he can be the number two guy, and so we go get Nidamaki.
Right.
And then they said, well, hell, Niemi's on the market, and we can get him for nothing, so let's go get Niemi. And then Greiss just, again, gets the aforementioned shaft. And not really through any fault of his own. I mean, I'm obviously speculating here, but still, it seems like he just got the shortest straw by far. I wish I had that Metallica clip, shortest straw right now. But anyway.
So Greiss gets sent to Worcester. Yeah. That's what you think happens? Now, Greiss does not have to pass through waivers. That's what we believe to be true.
That's my belief because he hasn't played enough NHL games and he's still very young.
There's no way they'd put him through waivers because he'd get claimed. There'd be no doubt he would get claimed. He's making $500,000. He's a good young talent. Someone would take him. The Flyers would take him.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody would take him for sure. So you got to imagine if he gets sent down that it's just going to be outright to Worcester. And that's not going to be good for Alex Stalock either. Because now you've got another player there who is going to be gobbling up games. And now you've got Sexsmith, who you may as well send to Stockton. They got to let that kid play 50 games this year.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a mess right now.
It is.
So, dude, right now, with the players that we have here on the roster, we can carry 14 forwards, 7 defensemen, and 2 goalies, a roster of 23 players. When's the last time we had a full roster of 23?
Long time.
It's been a long time. And we still have $400,000 of cap room. So, believe it or not...
We could do it.
That is possible, and if I was a betting man, and I was this last weekend, this is what I would bet the roster is going to be.
Okay, good times, dude. You see what I have in my wee little hand here, dude?
I do see. It is a mystery puck.
In fact, it's 2 mystery pucks. I bought them. We didn't buy them tonight, even though they were available, but I bought them for us both this past Saturday. So now it's time, through the drama of radio, to open our mystery puck.
All right. You go first.
Okay, I'm going to go first. I have one in the
blue. Wait, before you do it, who would be like your favorite, like to get? Like the one time I got JR and I was so excited.
I got a Thornton once, so I don't need Thornton. So Boyle is obviously my number one choice.
What would be the worst one for you to get? Like you'd be so disappointed if it was?
Vallin or Huskins, probably.
Vallin or Huskins?
Yeah.
If it was Vallin, at least it would have some comedy value.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Dude, I'm going to guess that you have... I'm going to say Torrey Mitchell. That's
okay.
My guess.
What are we saying here? Jamal Mayers.
Oh, dude, that's great.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exciting. At least it's interesting.
Yes. Okay. I can handle Jamal Mayers. I'm not disappointed.
God, dude.
Maybe I should have given you the blue one.
I kind of want it to be Douglas Murray. That's kind of what I want.
That would be cool.
I think the one I would least want would be Kent Huskins.
All right. Okay. Dude, you're taking a while.
Dude, I'm drawing it out.
Okay. Dude. Kent Huskins?
Dude.
Really?
Ben Ferriero.
Ben Ferriero.
Wow.
Well, speaking of guys that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Ferriero is a guy who had a chance to contend for a roster spot, and it appears that he's been beaten out by McCarthy and Wingles.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your biggest disappointment in the preseason so far? Besides me just opening this mystery pack, finding out I have freaking Ben Ferriero.
Nothing against Ben Ferriero as a person or a player, but when you get a puck that's supposedly signed by a shark and it's signed by a guy who's probably not really going to be on the roster anytime soon, that's a little bit disappointing.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah, thanks for nothing. I'm not going to say Petrecki, even though it would be kind of obvious to say that. I'm gonna go with Derek Jocelyn because yeah. Derek Jocelyn is this guy that everybody says is ready to contend for a roster spot, and he's not. I think he may be a little bit banged up. I think Mike Moore looked better tonight than he did. We saw some buzz about Sean Sullivan. He scored that goal and all. But Jocelyn isn't even really in the conversation in terms of making this team.
No, he is hurt, so mm-hmm. he couldn't even play, and this might have been an opportunity for him to take mm-hmm. this spot away from Andras Lilja. Not able to do it, not able to physically get on the ice. I think that's a good pick, dude. I'm going to go with Andrew Desjardins based on the fact that I don't know if we got overhyped when we talked to the Worcester play-by-play guy. I certainly believed that they were going to give him a legitimate look,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't really happen.
I don't really remember him anywhere.
He did play in one of the preseason games and got sent out in the first wave of guys who got sent back to Worcester. So definitely didn't make an impression. Andrew Desjardins, a little bit of a disappointment, I would say, just based on some expectations that I put on it myself.
All right, dude, let's go around the league. Still, obviously, in preseason, still see some various moves still happening. Got an email from Joel saying, what's next for Chichu, linking to a story that I think I linked to on the blog saying Chichu was released by the Dallas Stars from his tryout. So as far as we know, he is nowhere. So what do you think is going to happen with Chichu? What do you think is the next step for this guy?
Not much.
AHL? Europe?
No, I think he's going to have to go to Europe.
You think so?
Yeah, you just look at let's take Michael Nylander, for example, mm-hmm. who today, mm-hmm. this is the first time I can remember this, dude. He was actually loaned. The mm-hmm. Capitals loaned Nylander to the Panthers. So the Panthers don't have to pay any of Nylander's salary, but they get Michael Nylander
for
this
heard
season.
Of that.
Yeah, this is something that is just something so rare. Never even heard of this before, dude.
I'll have to investigate
that.
Yeah,
we're going to have to look into it, because if it's like soccer in a loan situation, if it's like that, Nylander could not play against the Capitals. He mm-hmm. wouldn't be allowed to play against them, but he could play all the other 80 games for the Panthers, and the Capitals pay every cent of his salary, and they don't get anything back in return.
What the heck? That doesn't make any sense.
So bizarre.
Yeah, that's weird.
And I don't know if you're loaned, if that means that you count against your cap or you don't. I'm going to do a real quick look at this on CapGeek, but extremely strange, dude. Extremely strange. What's your thing with Chichu? You think anyone else is going to take a chance on him, or is he peace out?
I don't think he may be peace out in terms of the NHL. I don't think he's going to be peace out in terms of hockey. I'm just looking up to see where he played. He played in the Swedish Elite League in the lockout year. So not only 20 games that year, not an amazing performance. But, if he feels comfortable playing in the Swedish Elite League, I can certainly see him going back there, or the Finnish Elite League, or the KHL if he wants to do that. I think you're right. I think that's the most likely because... it'd just be a huge step down for him to play at the AHL level if he's not affiliated with an NHL team. That means he's making about $100,000, and I think he can probably do a lot better than that in one of the European leagues. Even in the Swiss league, he can probably do better than that.
Is it time to just hang it up?
Well, he's still young. So, I'm not going to begrudge a player.
How many guys have had a career resurgence to be able to resurrect themselves over in Europe and come back and contribute on the level that he was contributing before.
Not on the level he was contributing before, but certainly as a decent NHL player. I mean, this is a guy that shouldn't even be in the same sentence as Jonathan Chichi, but Jaromir Jagr is one of those players.
Right.
You know, went and played overseas and then came back and was effective.
But Chichi hasn't been able to. When he came in the league, he came in as that, like, third line,
right,
crazy energy player, and then he blossomed into a goal scorer. I mean, this guy, I mean, which guy is he? Which career path mm-hmm. does he need to kind of reinvent himself as? I feel bad for him.
I do too. I mean, he's a very likable guy, and you know, I think it would be a huge mistake for the Sharks to take a look at him, obviously. but you know, we certainly wish him the best. I think he can find a professional job somewhere, and I just hope that his 401k is well funded and that he has a little bit of a nest egg in the bank, because I think the days of him making $3 million a year are long gone.
Long. What a downer.
It is kind
of a way to end the show on a downer.
Do we have to end now? We could talk about something else awesome.
How about the San Francisco Giants looking like they're going to make the playoffs?
Okay, who cares?
Dude, this is Major League Baseball playoffs in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that in a long time. We're certainly not going to see that from the A's anytime soon.
Who cares? This is a Sharks podcast.
All right, dude. Right. There's got to have something exciting
in
the Bay Area right now, because, you know, it's tough with the Sharks opening over in Europe. The Niners are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Giants. You've got the San Jose Earthquakes. Look like they're going to make the playoffs, dude. You know, this is exciting. Spurs won their Champions League game today, dude. We've got a lot going on.
We got some good stuff. I found out that Randy Hahn is now affiliated with this venture, which we are not affiliated with, by the way.
Right.
But I found on his Facebook page that he'll do this thing where you send him like a video of your child like playing sports, and he'll do like a play-by-play on it. I was thinking maybe I could do that. Like, I should send in like one of my league videos of like a really embarrassing clip of myself, like falling or like crashing into the boards head first with no one around, or just coughing up the puck and a breakaway the other way, and then having Randy Hahn, you know, do the play by play.
Do you think he'd do it?
If I paid him enough. I believe this is a for-profit venture, so I'm assuming that he wouldn't do it for free out of goodwill to Dudes on Hockey, despite his being so gracious as to come back with us. I doubt he would want to see me playing hockey poorly and then giving away his services for free.
Michael Petty's turned around, he's skating back into his own zone, and he falls on his five hole.
Yeah, or it could be like that Drew when I keep thinking back to that time when Milan Mihalik had like a breakaway and then just like stick handled it like 1,000 times, and Drew Amenda for like the only time in his career was absolutely speechless. It'd be sort of like Randy Hahn. He's like, here's Petty with a puck skating back into his zone. And and the other team scores. What the hell just happened? You know, it's just, it could be a situation like that.
I'll pay for it. I'll chip in $20.
Would you?
Yeah, that'd be the $20 that I just spent on this Ben Ferriero puck. Holy lordy. Some other real quick things, dude.
That could be on our channel on YouTube.
Do you know that Patrick O'Sullivan has signed with the Carolina Hurricanes?
Yeah. You know, I don't have a real bad thing about Patrick O'Sullivan. Although, to be honest with you, I am biased, because there's a book called The Greatest Hockey Stories Ever Told, and there's a story about Patrick O'Sullivan, and he's had a lot of like trouble with his family when he was a younger kid, trouble with his father and stuff like that. So, you know, knowing his sort of story growing up and all of the hardships that he's had to overcome, I certainly have a soft spot in my heart for Patrick O'Sullivan. I want to see him succeed.
Mike Motto signs with the New York Islanders, given their recent injury. Oh, man, they lose Okposo and
Mark Streit
for a significant amount of time. The poor get poorer, dude.
Yeah.
But Motto's a good signing for them.
He's a good signing, and I remember reading an article, I think last week, about somebody, I think it was actually Devils player, saying, you know, I mean, the market's crazy right now, and there's a lot of guys out of work, Owen Nolan being one of them, and a lot of people were surprised that Mike Motto had not found a job. So Mike Motto has a job now, so...
Owen Nolan,
good news job, bad news Islanders.
Owen Nolan, probably the best unsigned player on the market. You look at some other guys who are still available. Brendan Morrison, we saw, is on a tryout in Vancouver.
Yep, saw him tonight.
There's a Yuri Lehtinen, mm-hmm, unsigned. Kyle Wellwood, homeless.
Kyle Wellwood was on a tryout. I think he was on Phoenix, right? I think we saw him against Phoenix.
Good for him. And let's not forget about
Kyle Wellwood, good set of hands, but loves the burgers.
Let's not forget about Todd Fedoric.
Yeah, I have forgotten about Todd Fedoric, I'm afraid.
But dude, yeah, you're right. Next week's going to be a big week.
It's going to be a big week. We're going to have opening of the season next week. We'll have season preview for you all. Of course, we want your emails, questions at dudesonhockey.com. Like us on Facebook. I did some tweets during the game tonight.
Very nice.
That's pretty much what I think we're going to use the Twitter feed for. It's like we'll just do sort of in-game you know, shouts and wacky stuff there.
We have new seats, and I'm a little concerned.
The poll question.
Because we had two lovely folks sitting next to us tonight who I think probably drank the stadium out of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were drinking mixed drinks when I got there, before you got there.
They were extremely
they had four or five beers while you were there, and I think they had at least two mixed drinks before you got there.
So what is worse?
Yeah.
Because before we have fled sections due to who we would call the stemmer for being a know-it-all fan with very little knowledge but lots of hot air.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had the junior stemmer. Same sort of qualities, maybe not quite as bad.
Not nearly.
So what I asked Mike on the way home was, would you rather sit with stemmer and junior stemmer or have the drunks as our seat partners?
And like, I don't mean just drunks as in people that get drunk and yell every now and again, like yell obnoxious crap. The guy was trying
to... The aisle was like sloshed with alcohol.
Like the ground underfoot was like under beer, basically. And the guy tried to pick a fight with someone behind us at one point because he was making out with his girlfriend and someone said, get a room behind him. And then he stood up and said, who said that? And tried to start this whole thing. And so
the question is, who'd you rather?
Who'd you rather? The two drunk people who don't really know much about hockey and yell things like, go back to Canada, when half the Sharks roster is from Canada. And or... Stemmer and junior stemmer.
Yeah.
You make the call. I still can't decide. I've been thinking about it all night. I still don't know who I would choose. I mean, that talk about a rock and a hard place.
we'll find out what the listeners think, dude. Hockey season just around the corner, dude.
Dude, I'm so excited.
Awesome. Talk to you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.